Jonathan Tjerks from The Ringer joins us now, staff writer. And Jonathan, how's it going, first of all?
Good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Do you watch, this is going to seem out of left field, but I promise there's an end game. Do you watch This Is Us?
No.
Okay, so
you should.
In This Is Us, there's a couple of characters who play this game called Worst Case Scenario. And when they're anxious about something, they literally go through all the horrible things that could happen and the worst outcome possible. So they feel better about it because they've already run through it and they know the worst case scenario. And you wrote an article talking about if the worst case scenario happens, the Toronto Raptors will still be fine. And it didn't seem like, Jonathan, that you had to really, not necessarily that your article wasn't thorough, but it's not a stretch to assume that things would be okay if this Kawhi trade doesn't pan out.
Yeah, I mean, I like the young players they have. The nice thing about how Toronto's set up, it's like they have a good young player at pretty much every position. It's like they've already rebuilt their team while still being good. That's really hard to do, but they pulled it off.
You know, I am Miss Worst Case Scenario. I am. I'm a fatalist. I come up with the worst case scenario all the time in my life at every moment.
That sounds kind of dark.
I know.
Yeah,
I
we're
know.
Getting
it's
real
crazy,
dark here.
Eh?
Thanks
it's
for joining
really,
us.
It's really, really crazy. Yeah. Meet my family because they will tell you exactly what I'm like, and that's what I'm like. So I see this on paper and I'm excited because, you know, I don't get all warm and fuzzy about being really close to players. I'm sad. There's a day of mourning. It's a, you know, you have a bit of a hangover today that DeRozan's not here anymore, but, and I want to move on. I want something exciting, but I, on paper, this looks so exciting and I just don't know if he's going to show up. And if he shows up, is he going to be in great shape? Is he like, I just don't know Kawhi Leonard. I don't know. And like I've said earlier, I don't even know what he sounds like. I need to see Kawhi. I need to hear from Kawhi. I need anything from Kawhi.
Yeah, I mean, you would think because he's going to be a free agent next year and he wants to make a lot of money, you would think he'd be showed up ready to play. But it's hard to say. You're right. No one knows Kawhi, really. He's pretty much a mystery man.
He is a mystery man, but he would add to this Raptors rotation in a very fantastic way. And obviously, his two-way skill set fits perfectly into the way the NBA is shaping up. So you have Kawhi Leonard, for example. You have OG Anunoby, who's kind of like a Kawhi light. You have Pascal Siakam, very athletic, very long, can shoot the three a little bit. You know, he's working on that, and he's just a nice athletic piece that can run the floor. Obviously, all of this led by Kyle Lowry. But who's the next person in this lineup for me that would be just a defensive lockdown unit? Maybe not the way that they're going to start games, but definitely a look that they can throw at opponents.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, they could probably go Siakam, Anunoby, Kawhi, Danny Green, DeLon Wright. And that's pretty much five switchable guys who could spread the floor. You have guys, you have a point guard, you have a guy, primary option Kawhi, you have a lot of shooting. They have so many interesting lineups. It's going to be really fun to watch them this year.
And that's the thing. I think you can draw up so many lineups in the sand, and I'm really excited for training camp. I'm excited for preseason just to see what goes on here. And I think not a lot has been said about Danny Green, and I know that he's had a bit of an off year, but man, like, he can shoot the three, and he is an amazing perimeter, like, D guy. And I see places, and like yourself, you put him in the starting lineup, and yesterday maybe he wasn't in the starting lineup of a lot of specialists, but today he is. Like, do you think that that's where he's going to end up, or is he going to come in off the bench?
I think so. I think it'll depend on where they start their two big men, where they start Ibaka and Valanciunas. I think if they start both, it just does not make spots in the lineup. But if they go smaller and move OG to the four, Green kind of slides right in as the two. And I think last year Kawhi didn't play. He's a guy who's better and is playing with better players because he's a spot-up shooter. So now if they have somebody who can command double teams, they'll get more open shots, I think, even Lowry especially.
Yeah, and Jonas Valanciunas and Serge Ibaka, they don't necessarily meld well together when they're on the court. It's just too much to expose. If neither of them can guard the perimeter effectively, and if they get spread, it's just they're toast, right, on the defensive end. But one of the things that I found interesting about the article that you wrote was that the bench won more games than the starters for the Raptors last season, with Lowry and DeRozan being 7th and 10th in net rating on this team. And I think when people get upset about something like this and a trade and they get sentimental about it, which is fair because DeMar DeRozan has been the face of this organization for a long time, when they take a deeper look at the numbers and they really remember the problems that they had with DeMar in the postseason, it's something that they'll be able to get behind if Kawhi comes in as healthy and makes an immediate impact. But what I don't think people are talking about enough, Jonathan, is the fact that Toronto might have been a little bit snaky when they told DeMar that he wasn't getting traded, allegedly, and then moving him. But they're moving him and Jakob Poeltl to the San Antonio Spurs. It's not exactly a scrub organization. They're going to be able to use these two players. They're in a challenging West, of course, but they're still in a position to be competitive.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I think the Spurs will probably make the playoffs again. Mm-hmm. I feel like DeMar slides that in with LaMarcus Aldridge. He'll be at a competitive team. You know, you can get traded. It's a tough, cold world. Look at Isaiah Thomas.
Have we saw anyone lose more money just because of an injury? Yeah.
There's no Brinks trucks for him, that's for sure.
There is not even a Ford truck that has like a little bit of a hatchback situation and maybe a shrunken bed for Isaiah Thomas. He's in a big-time prove-em year. And I think DeMar DeRozan, his whole thing is prove-em, and he's not happy about his ranking on Sports Illustrated. He's not happy about a lot of the perceptions about him from the outside world and a lot of times the media in the United States. But this is a perfect opportunity for him to prove it and prove people wrong. And if he's someone that uses the hate as motivation, well, he's got a ton of it now, and maybe we'll need a Brinks truck for that.
Yeah, I mean, really, though, it's all about the playoffs. You look at how he ended the season this year.
Semantics, Jonathan. You know, come on. I'm just joking.
I don't know. I mean, he's like, DeMar's a good player, but if he's your best player, there's just feeling how good you're going to be. We've seen that the last few years.
There were some reports yesterday that maybe they would flip DeRozan or trade him somehow. Do you believe that? Or
the
do you
Spurs?
Think, yeah.
I would be surprised because it seems like the Spurs want to be competitive. Pop, I think it's like 70 or something. I don't think he wants to rebuild. I think they want to be good right away. I don't think they want to rebuild. That's why they made this trade.
Do you think we're seeing the last of the Greg Popovich era in San Antonio?
Yeah.
Listen,
as far as I know, 2020, because he's going to be the Team USA coach.
Yes.
I've heard that's going to be the end of him and Spurs. So it's coming to a close, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy to think that this is going to be the new regime. And I think in a way that DeMar DeRozan and to a lesser extent, Jakob Poeltl can kind of take solace in the fact that, listen, we're going to get a year or two of Greg Popovich as our head coach, but then we're going to also have a chance to reinvent ourselves again. And I know that at the end of the day, it's about winning. But DeMar DeRozan has proven time and time again with his comments that he is someone who wants to lead a franchise. He is someone who wants to be visible and hands-on in the community. And this is another opportunity for him to do so. Granted, another jersey, which is something he's not happy about, but he's still going to get the opportunity to do the things that matter most to him.
Yeah, I mean, how much money is he making? You know,
DeMar DeRozan?
He'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be okay. Well, we're going to get you out of here. Thank you so much for joining us, Jonathan. We really appreciate your time, and I hope you have a lovely weekend.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.